Mr. Chairman and friends, I think everybody knows that the Buddha, Gautama the Buddha, the founder of the spiritual tradition that we now know as Buddhism, lived in India some 2,500 years ago. And 2,500 years, 25 whole centuries, is rather a long time as human history goes. Nevertheless, though the Buddha lived all those years, all those centuries ago, we do know, even today, quite a lot about him. We know quite a lot about his life, about the events of his life, what he did, what happened to him. We know quite a lot about what we can only call, using a rather unfortunate word, the personality, the character of the man himself. We know also quite a lot about his actual teaching. So many traditions of that teaching have come down to us, so many formulations of it, so many expositions of it, of one kind and another. We also know quite a lot, not only about the Buddha himself, but about his various disciples, about the men and the women, and even the children who, in the course of his 45 years of ministry, followed him, were influenced by him, influenced by his teaching, influenced by his example. We know quite a lot about the bhikkhus, about the bhikkhunis, about the upasakas, the upasikas. I'm deliberately using the Sanskrit and Pali words because the English translations as monks, nuns, etc. usually create such a very misleading impression. But we know quite a lot about them all these, or many of them, these disciples. Some kings, some nobles, some garland sellers, garland makers, sweepers, scavengers, merchants, traders, priests. We know quite a lot about them too. And we know quite a lot about the sort of impression the Buddha made on his contemporaries, what people thought of him, how they reacted to his teaching, how they reacted to his influence, how they reacted to the fact that up and down the roads of India there was walking, could be seen every day, a man who was enlightened. We know what they felt about that. We know that some were very much impressed, were carried away almost by their enthusiasm that there was walking about in the world, in flesh and blood, on two feet as it were, an enlightened human being. But there were others, we know, who weren't at all pleased and didn't like the idea at all and criticized and reviled the Buddha. We know that as well. There were some who thought of him as the Buddha, the enlightened one. Others who thought of him as someone who'd happened to leave his home among the Shakyas and was just wandering about as a religious mendicant. Some thought of him just as an ordinary teacher. Others again thought of him as a nice, kindly old gentleman. Others as a great yogin, others as a great miracle worker, and so on. We know from the scriptures, from the traditions, that the Buddha created on the minds of his contemporaries all these impressions. We know too quite a lot, not only about the Buddha, not only about his disciples, his contemporaries, about the impression he created. We know quite a lot about the general condition of the times in which he lived in India, in northeastern India. We know quite a lot about the political conditions, about how there was a general shift from a republican to a monarchical form of polity. We know quite a lot about social conditions, about the caste system, stratification of society, and so on, about the economic condition of the country, what sort of trade, what sort of business was carried on, by whom, where. We know about the trading connections that extended all the way to Babylonia, perhaps even further than that. All these things we know. But amongst all these things that we know about the Buddha, about his disciples, about his times and so on, as regards the life of the Buddha itself, we know most of all about and in connection with two particular episodes. And these episodes are the Buddha's attainment of enlightenment, when at the age of 35 the supreme knowledge at last dawned upon him in meditation, and about what we call his parinirvana, which is the Buddhist expression for the Buddha's final passing away from the physical body, the dissociation, as it were, of that supreme enlightenment experience from the physical body in connection with, perhaps even through which, it was originally attained.